Hey family.
Welcome to the Janae That's Good podcast.
It's Janae.
And Janae.
And today
we are talking Save Now What Part 2.
But first,
let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we want to thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all the many of the blessings that you have given us. Thank you for another opportunity to get it right. Thank you for another opportunity to get closer with you. Now, God, we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And God, if there's anybody that we need to forgive, we release them into the freedom of our forgiveness by faith and by obedience. Now, God, speak to us and speak through us. Meet us where we are, dear Heavenly Father. Allow us to be able to receive your transformative power through your Son, Jesus Christ, that allows us to change and be the very best that we can be. God, help us to be better believers, but more importantly, God, allow us to be bolder and better disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now we know belief means that I have to have works to bring my belief or my faith into action or alive, right? So it says, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." His idea is that, you know what? Everybody has the opportunity to be saved.
Absolutely. Okay?
I want that to be clear. I'm not coming so that you can be condemned. Him dying was not for your condemnation. It was for you to have
your redemption.
Yes, for redemption, to be saved, to be reconciled to me, right?
Absolutely.
So, verse 18, "He who believes in him is not condemned." Thank God. You're taking on my punishment.
Yes.
So, I'm not condemned. All this stuff that I did, I'm not in trouble for it. I'm not condemned for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trial for it.
Yeah.
Because I believe in you and I believe that you died for that very reason.
Absolutely.
Right? So your blood covers me.
Absolutely.
Because love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah. All right. "He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Okay?
Wait, can we put a pin in that?
Yeah. What do you want to say?
Literally, when I hear that, because God made this really plain for me, right, the other day, recently. When I hear that, what that said really means is, because, like, you know me, I got to make it visual for me, right? If I am not following Christ, and if I am not saved, and I'm not living a life that reflects Christ and what a follower of Christ looks like, what it is, truly, right? What I am basically saying is, God, I got this. Jesus, I got this. Right? I don't need no help. I got this. I can do this on my own.
I'll take my punishment.
Which means the condemnation comes from you rejecting Christ.
Yes.
You rejecting that he's the one who literally is bearing all of that. He bared all of that.
You're rejecting salvation.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. When you do that, a sacrifice has to be made, right?
Yeah.
Which it was already made. But if you want to reject Jesus, what you are doing is you're saying, I'll hold my sins and I'll keep my sins and I'll hold on to it. But understand that with you saying that, there has to be a punishment, and the wages of sin is death.
Yes. So there has to be a death made.
Absolutely.
Because the wages of it, like you said, the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
So if I'm getting death in return of sinning,
that
means that something or somebody has to die.
Absolutely.
And if Jesus did it for me, and that's like somebody coming up to you saying, I can pay for this for you.
And you say, no,
I can
I'm good.
Because, you know, I can pay for the sin. I can pay for it. But you're saying, no, I can die. I'll do it.
I got it.
I'll do it.
Right.
You're rejecting the very thing that you can be saved from.
Yes.
Okay. So, did I say 19 already? Okay. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation." So he's telling you what the condemnation is, that the light has come into the world, Jesus, right?
Yes.
"And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil."
Right.
Okay. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed."
Think about that, though.
That I want to say the part again.
That's good.
For everyone practicing evil, that we're practicing. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. Everybody who's comfortable in their sin. Everybody who's, I'm doing this evil. You know what I'm saying? I just want to do it. I don't want it exposed. I don't want nobody to come and try to, because I love it.
You know
I
what
like
it, sounds
it here.
Like? It sounds like this. I'm not hurting nobody.
Yes.
I'm doing me.
But you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, and God.
Yes, and God.
And to be honest with you, if you want to be 100% honest, you are hurting other people because you're hurting the person that you haven't met that's connected to you.
Yeah.
That when you come out, you're going to set free.
Yep, yep.
So the longer you are not getting
in
yourself together and the,
right.
the longer you're in disobedience, you're holding up another person.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I love the fact that Tiffany Montgomery always says that you're replaceable. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
But understand that there is going to be a penalty for you not doing what God called you to do because you didn't want to get it together.
Right. And there's, you know, blood on your hands.
Don't let somebody else come up and do the job that you were supposed to do because you're going to have to answer for that.
Yep.
But it's like you say, I ain't hurting nobody. I just want to do me. Do you not know that your life is not your own?
Exactly. That it's been paid for.
Hello.
He literally paid for you already.
Literally.
He's just waiting for you to come into an
Absolutely.
Alignment and agreement with
right.
what he already did.
You done already been bought.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So, and then verse 21 says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
Now, listen to that. There's a difference between coming to the light and being exposed.
Mm.
Woo.
Mm.
There's a difference. When you get to that point where you like, listen, God, I can't do this without
you. Because you have nothing to be ashamed of.
Exactly. When you come to him, right? Versus you being outed because a light is being shined on you and exposing you.
And that's why when you have really true blood-bought believers, right, who are around people who are not, right, they will try to make you feel like the ones who aren't, right, or will try to make the ones who are feel like what they're doing is too much.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's too much for them.
Right.
Because us doing what's right, it exposes what you're doing.
Yeah. Convicts.
Like it convicts. It sheds light on what you're doing because we're light.
Yeah.
So when we come into a room and people who are practicing, right?
Yeah.
This is why some people get irritated or bothered.
Oh, yeah.
Or they don't even understand. They just feel in some
it
type of way.
Them.
Exactly. Because light has come in.
Yeah.
And whether you know it or notice it or not, it's exposing your darkness.
Yeah.
Which is why people, they feel like jealousy. Oh, that person is over there looking like, oh, like they, you know what
holier
I'm saying?
Now.
Holier than thou and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
No. You are being convicted because there's a light walking into the room and it's exposing everything that is hiding in you.
And
we don't realize that it'd be manifestations.
Right. Absolutely. And shame on the person who unrighteously judges a person who's trying to get it together and really actually trying to walk with God. You know what I'm saying? Because there are a lot of people who do feel like, oh, yeah, and that is just that is another indication of. You will know them by their fruits because the thing about it is God did not save you so you could be nasty to people.
Exactly.
He didn't save you so that you could be nasty and be like, oh yes, now I'm saved, clenching pearls, clenching purse. Like,
right,
oh
no.
My God. You know,
no.
That's not
what it is at
so,
all.
So, but my thing is at the same time, it is.
Because let's not forget where you came from.
Don't forget your Damascus.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But at the same time, what I'm not going to do is pretend that God did not save me from places just because you are not ready to leave those places.
Mm-hmm.
If God is taking
me
out the tomb, I'm not going to stay in the tomb with you because you don't want to leave.
Right. Right. So the examples that I wanted to give was Egypt and Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do I know if I'm saved? Right. Egypt.
Okay.
The Israelites were crying out to God, right?
Yeah.
Those who call on the name of Jesus
shall be saved. Absolutely.
They were calling on God, right? God saved them from Egypt. He saved them. They were out of there.
Right.
Okay? But Egypt was still in them, which is why they had to go into the wilderness to purge that out.
Absolutely.
So you can be saved from a thing, right? But you can also go back to a thing. Absolutely. You can also bring that thing that you were saved from into where Absolutely. The new season of you being saved Absolutely. Out of, right? And then some people, they want to be saved from that situation just to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, if that makes sense. Like, Absolutely. It's like, oh, I just, like, a lot of people want the benefit. I could say it like this. A lot of people want the benefits of God, but don't want to be godly.
Here's the thing. No, you said it right. Like, literally, what it is, hey, I want all the, no, not me. I rebuke that mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus. They want the, I'm not about to put that on myself. They want the benefits of Christ, like you said, without bearing the cross.
Yeah.
They don't want to go through the sanctification process, that process where God has to purge and burn away things and cut things out. You know what I mean? They don't want to sit on the, they don't want to be on the operating table and let God do open heart surgery and get that stuff up out of there, because it's painful and it hurts. And most people want to accumulate something new. They don't want to get rid of what was old.
Right. When you give your life and yes to God, when you say, Jesus, I believe, that is not enough. You are saved. Yes. But you have to maintain your salvation.
Acknowledging that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's the King yeah. of Kings. He's the only God. Everything mm-hmm. else is lowercase g. Mm-hmm. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I believe in God the Father, yes. the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus was born right. of a Virgin Mary, that he suffered on the cross. He died for my sins. He arose on the third day. He was born by the Virgin Mary. Like, these are the things, like, that literally the only way to the Father is through the Son.
Yes.
And that when God died, when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit was released to me.
Yeah.
So the only way I was able to get the Holy Spirit is through accepting Jesus, because he was a sacrificial lamb.
Yes.
So once again, in order to get something, something had to die. So when Jesus died, the Holy Spirit was released. And that is what we get when we accept Jesus Christ. Right.
Right. So I'm saved. Right. I'm saved. That part is, if you do that, yes,
that's the
you
first
are
step.
Saved.
Step number one.
But it's just, you have to, it could even be a thing of, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, right?
Absolutely.
But it's just like, or deliver me from certain things if I know that I'm struggling with certain areas, right? Yeah. But when you confess that, you're saved.
Right.
That's like, even not with a physical situation. Because God loves to give us physical examples, which Absolutely. Is why we have Egypt, right?
Yes, yes.
He saved them from Egypt. And Egypt is a place of bondage. If you look up the definition of Egypt, it's a place of bondage.
Yeah.
So he saved them from a place of bondage physically, right?
They were still there mentally, for sure.
You can, a woman that's getting beat on, right?
Yeah.
Somebody can save her from that environment.
Absolutely.
But guess what? She can decide if she wants to go back
yeah.
or if she wants to maintain her salvation
yeah.
by doing the healing that she needs to do
yeah.
and staying away from and being vigilant moving forward.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, I have to make sure that these things, I'm not like these type of men. No, I'm not yeah. dealing with. You have to have boundaries. You have to remove yourself out of certain situations.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's those kind of things that maintain your salvation
yeah.
because you can be saved. Right. But again, our next question, can I lose my salvation?
Right.
And I think that pretty much answers it.
Yeah.
Because yes, and God can save you. He has saved us plenty of times. He has saved us over and over and over and over again. And I'm pretty sure everybody can find times in their lives where they had cried out to God and God showed up. You
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? But it's just us and our own decisions that either bring us back to those places of bondage. If y'all want to study Egypt, it's, I think, Egypt 16. Let me make sure. Yeah, my bad. Egypt 16.
I'm like,
Exodus.
Wait, what? I was confused for a second. I'm like,
Exodus.
What?
I'm sorry. Exodus
right.
16. Right. I done added a book in the Bible.
Oh, I did.
But it's Exodus 16.
Right,
so
right.
Jude 1 says, but I want to remind you, this is verse 5. Mm-hmm. I want to remind you, though you once knew this. So he's like, you already knew this, right? That the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe.
Right.
So So he saved them, yes, mm-hmm. but they were still destroyed because of their lack of belief.
Right.
And remember, our belief,
the action,
the obedience. So I said the most important thing that you can do mm-hmm. in your walk with God is to be obedient.
Absolutely.
To him, right? Death to idolatry, because they went in the wilderness and they started making idols. They started doing all kind of stuff. How, what a slap in the face to God when he saves you from something and you go right back to it.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
Or you give all the credit to someone else or something else, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know something that I was going to say real quick, but to put a pin in that, two things. Number one, understand that in your sin and when you are in the world, right? Mm-hmm. The sin and the things that you're doing, the things that you see, the thing you've been exposed to and different things like that, it is all conditioning and training you, right, for different types of demonic patterns, mm-hmm. right, to keep you in a demonic system, a demonic pattern, right? And so the reason why I say that is, listen to this, is good. And when I read Exodus, this is what God brought to my attention. They had cried out to God.
Yeah.
He showed up, because here's the thing. Let God be truth and every man be a liar.
Yeah.
God showed up by way of Moses and got them out of there, right? Mm-hmm. They went right into the wilderness. This is what that was. I'm taking you out of a horrible situation and I'm putting you here temporarily, yeah. but I need you to trust me, because when I transition you to your promised land, I got to make sure that whatever's inside of you, like, I got to get that out before you get there, right?
Yeah.
What happens is we get impatient.
Yeah.
Right. We start having entitlement, all type of stuff, like where we just were at wasn't worse than where you are now.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
And think about it like this. I look at it like this. Can you imagine a person having no car and you give them a car and being like, and they being like, I mean, this ain't no Bentley, but I mean, this ain't no.
Right.
When you was just walking. So I use that to say this. So what did they do? Instead of them continuously praying, continuously trusting God, and I have been guilty yeah. of this too, so I'm not saying I haven't, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of them continuously praying, continuously seeking God, continuously trusting him, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What ended up happening was when they were met with opposition, when they were met with struggle, when they were met with staying in a place longer than what they wanted to stay in, right? Well, they're complaining and murmuring, whatever. You know, mouth is another translation for mouth is wilderness. Mm-hmm. So it was the things that they were speaking and that they were saying, which was making the process longer. So they were actually causing their wilderness to be longer by what they were saying. We know that it's life and death in the power of the tongue. So as they're talking, they could have been praising. They could have been worshiping while they were in there. They could have been praising, right, they could have been right. worshiping while they were in it. But instead they were complaining, which is adding, making their wilderness longer and longer. However, I say that eventually, right, what ended up happening was they literally ended up reverting back to what they were doing when they were back in Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. So their oppressors were having them build idols and carve idols and make the, you know, make graving images and different things like that, right? Now, mind you, they have geographically been located to another area. Mm-hmm. But because they still have an Egypt mindset, what did they do? The minute things weren't going right, going their way, they felt like they were in there too long. What did they revert back to? The very thing that the oppressors were making, forcing them to do, what they were conditioned to do,
yeah.
which was what? Make graven images. Which is exactly what they did. So what the enemy will do is he will have you in sin, right? Have you in sin, have you doing all type of things you know you ain't supposed to be doing, right? And then God rescues you and saves you, right? But if you do not maintain your salvation, you will end up doing the very thing that you were doing when you were in Egypt as God is transitioning you, trying to get you to your promised land. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Because think about it. God has brung me out of situations, right? And yet when I'm met with something that is testing me, right? Which is God just testing me, right? Mm-hmm. Testing grows your faith, right? So as I'm being tested.
That's good. Testing grows your faith.
Yes.
Because think about Abraham. He was being tested.
Absolutely. So instead of me at that time, using my words and using my mouth for praise, and I'm complaining, and I can pinpoint almost every time when I fell and ended up indulging in sin, it was the very thing, it was connected to the very thing I asked God to bring me out of.
Now that blessed me.
Yeah, that was good.
But we want to know what you guys think.
So visit our contact us page on janaedasgood.com.
Leave a review and don't forget to stay tuned for part three.